Hey guys, it's Pastor Jeff Durbin with Apologia Church, Apologia Radio, and Studios. I'm here to talk to you today about Summer White. Yes, Summer White, the offspring of Dr. James White. She has a wonderful, delicious new show and website. You can go to sheologians.com. Check her out. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Make sure you guys rate it. Leave a comment. Let people know about this amazing show with Summer White and Joy Temby, the girl from Apologia Radio. That's right. Two classy, wonderful, Jesus-loving women talking about solid theology, talking about God and the world. You don't want to miss it. Sheologians.com is where you go. And don't forget, if you're blessed by the ministry of Sheologians, Summer White and Joy Temby, make sure you guys help it happen. Go to patreon.com/sheologians. patreon.com/sheologians. Offer some monthly support. If you love solid theology and ladies, you should support the ministry and the work of Sheologians. It's two ladies talking about the Lord, the Word of God, and the world. It's a study of God. They're talking about amazing things. And sometimes they even talk about feminism. And they critique that in light of God's word. So it might just be a study of the grave. That was actually a theological nerd joke right there. Some of you guys may have caught it. You might want to catch up. It was pretty good. So if you love the ministry of Summer White and Joy Temby, you should support at patreon.com/sheologians. They would be blessed. We would be blessed. We would be grateful. Continue to pray for the work and the ministry at sheologians.com.
Have you had your soup today?
And the cold, crisp taste of Coke is so satisfying, it keeps me from eating something else that might really add those pounds.
Everybody, you are listening to Sheologians, where we put the she in shell because we are unique, beautiful individuals. And if you hold us up to your ear, you will hear the sound of the ocean. I am Joy, and I am here with Summer today.
Hey, hey.
And we also have a special guest with us, and special for you guys as well. Her name is Rebecca Merkel, and she wrote a book called Eve in Exile.
Rebecca, thanks for coming on. I'm just so excited to get to talk to you.
Yes, thanks so much for having me. This is great.
Yeah. Did you know that our dads have debated?
I did. Yes. Isn't that funny?
It's so funny. And I was there, but I was a teenager, so I like didn't care.
Yeah.
And I think I like preoccupied myself like out in the lobby or something like that. And now I wish I could go back and like participate in that.
Yeah, I know. That's awesome.
Whoops. Anyway, so obviously I read your book and I loved it, and I want everyone to read it. I think it was just amazing. And I'm so glad that I get to ask you questions about it.
Yeah, thanks so much.
So, I mean, my burning question after reading it is I want to know, what made you write this?
Oh, okay. What made me write it? You know, I think it was kind of a long time coming, actually. It's something I've always been interested in, even going back to when I was getting my undergrad at New St. Andrews. Every senior has to write and defend a thesis. And so I chose to do mine about the relationship between a culture's theology and its treatment of women. So my thesis was just that the sort of relationship between God and man in a culture is reflected sort of in microcosm between the men and the women. And then I just did a sort of survey of four different cultures arguing that that was the case. And it was really fascinating to me. And then the research was really fun. And I don't know. I think it was also an issue at the time, because there was this, I was raised in a conservative house, and lots of people think my dad is this sort of patriarchal ogre, which is not true. I actually had, you know, acquaintances who really were raised in that kind of super patriarchal sort of thing. And it was really appalling to me. And so, you know, I would see girls my age who weren't allowed to get an education or whatever. And I just really couldn't figure out why, like, what is the argument here? And then simultaneously seeing the feminists and being very unconvinced by them. And so, yeah, I think it was just, that was what, 20 years ago or something, when I was doing that. And I just found it a really fascinating topic. And so it's always been kind of percolating there in the back of my mind, I guess.
Right. Okay. Hey, Rebecca, I forgot to introduce you to my co-host. I feel so rude. This is Joy.
Hello.
Hi, Joy.
And she completes the third wheel of Apologia Radio. And without her, there would be no show. She's awesome. And so the fun thing, why I'm really excited to actually get to do this interview, like, with her too, is that so she's single and I have kids. And so we kind of, I think, cover the spectrum a little bit in terms of, like, culture viewing us differently, especially Christian culture, I feel like. So I'm really excited about that. And I'm sorry. I just want to let you know she's here and she's awesome. And
I like, sort of whispered to Summer, I was like, let her know I'm here so that, like, when if I like ask a question or if I'm like, right? You're not like, who is that? A voice? Like, who is that?
Anyway, I told you I'm like really excited to get to ask her these questions.
I was just like, tell. Okay, I can totally tell.
I'm asking her questions. Okay.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah. So I actually, I was tangling with an egalitarian a couple of weeks ago, and one of my favorite things was that she tells me that I subscribe to the patriarchy, and she said that I'm in a cult, like, think Doug Wilson.
Yeah. So funny to me. I've had people tell me things about my own father that are so funny, and they will literally tell me, no, you don't know him. And I'm like, well, I do, actually, and he's not like that.
Right. So, okay, so one of the things I feel like you tangled in the book that I have just been like waiting for someone to address is it feels like there's kind of this great divide between what you were talking about in terms of like super conservative Christian world where maybe the word like patriarchy would apply.
Right.
And kind of this women are the keepers of the home, like, period, end of the story. And there's not much outside of that. And so then you have that on one end, and on the other end, you have this super secular culture that will sacrifice children on the altar of women not being in the home. And I feel like a lot of Christians, we know that either side isn't right, but we're not really sure where in the middle we should land.
Right.
So what are your thoughts on keeping that balance and how we can basically encourage Christian women to do that?
Right. Well, you know, I don't know if this answers your question, but this goes back to what I was saying about, like, thinking about this back when I was in college and I had friends who were kind of in that extreme conservative camp, or acquaintances anyway. And I think the thing that really struck me was that actually those are not two ditches on either side of the road where we should be like this kind of moderation in the middle, like a little bit of each. It was realizing that actually they are sitting in the same ditch. Like, they actually share the same view of the woman's role in the home. It's just one of them embraces it and one rejects it. So it's like you have this idea that being in the home is brainless. It requires no special gifts or abilities. And then you have the conservatives who say, yes, that's how we like it. And then on the other side, you have feminists who reject it and go do something else. But they actually share the same sort of poisonous premise, which is that a woman's role is kind of demeaning and, you know, marginal, I guess.
Right.
And so I think recognizing that they share the same faulty assumption and then reject that and then try and recover something outside of it, rather than trying to see them as like, you know, they're the sliding scale 0 to 10 and we should try to aim for 5, you know.
Right.
And I just think that's not a winning strategy there.
Right. So in terms of feminism, and you, again, in the book, tackled a lot about feminism that I didn't know. The history of it was just completely worth the time that you spent on it in the book.
Oh, thanks.
I loved it. And it's interesting because I read the book, and so I feel like I know a little bit more about feminism now than I did before. But I saw someone the other day pose the question, you know, if feminism is just the belief that women are equal to men, then how can Christians not be feminists?
Right.
Right?
Right.
So
right.
What presuppositions would you tackle to answer that question?
Well, I would say that isn't something that's exclusive to the feminists. I mean, I don't know why we would give them that territory. That's what Christianity has given the world. That's not what feminists have given the world. So I wouldn't let them have that. So the idea that women are equal, that is something that comes straight out of Christendom, and you don't find that anywhere else in the world. So to somehow give that heritage to the feminists is just silly, you know?
Right.
So I think that's kind of important too, is to see the sort of bigger historical picture, that the idea that there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, like that's not something that the feminists thought of.
Right. Yes, that's true. I love it. So what would you say if you had, and I'm sure this happens to you often, if you had a stay-at-home mom in front of you who was feeling discouraged, feeling like she wasn't living up to her potential, maybe she's struggling because of what culture has to say about her or her family, and she's chosen to stay at home, what would be like the number one encouragement that you would give to her?
Yeah, you know, that is one of the things that I would hope that my book could help in some way. It's just realizing the profundity of the job, you know, the importance of it. And of course, it's going to be hard work. And of course, you're going to feel tired at times, because any worthwhile endeavor is like that. But to see that it's all for something hugely important, it's not like tired for the sake of no real reason, you know?
Right.
And the other thing is just, I think when you recover a sense of how important a job it is, it can help you to not feel sorry for yourself, right? Because if you're sitting there and you feel like this is all there is, and here I am in my little suburban boring life, and you can start feeling like a sad victim, you know? And I think that if you see your role as something much bigger than that, then you realize there's not actually a good reason to fall into self-pity. And I think that that's the real temptation. And that is the thing that the feminists cater to so, so well, is that self-pity. And that's just, that's the fastest way to lose sight of the bigger picture and just make yourself ineffective, is right, to start feeling bad for yourself and sorry for yourself and look at poor me sitting here in my house doing nothing important. And so just to recover a sense of the importance of the job is a good way to hopefully combat that temptation to feeling like a victim.
Right. Right. Absolutely. And actually Rachel's books really helped me with that. When I first became a mom, Loving the Little Years and Fit to Burst really supported me and helped me stay away from that self-pity feeling.
Yeah, because it can be, you know, like you can be up to your eyeballs in what feels like not very impressive work.
Right, right.
You know, but to just have the ability to kind of like, no, zoom out a little bit, get a bigger perspective and see that this actually is, you know, important, crucial work that you're doing.
Right. Amen.
Well, and I think we should spend a brief moment talking about the idea too. So not just being worn out from working so hard and doing this important work, but there's also this propensity to feel like you've lost a part of yourself, like, because yes. being a mom is so, I mean, you have people that are just dependent on you, and so you're just giving and giving and giving, and then you feel like there's nothing left of you left, yes. whether it be like your music preferences yeah. are gone
yes.
to like maybe the thing that, like, you have this vision of something you'd like to do, but you feel like, oh, I'll never get to do that because I'm a mom.
Right. Right. And I think that's so dangerous too. Like, once you start doing that, again, it's the little self-pity thing. Once you start focusing on how noble you are, you know, and all the things you've given up and how unappreciated you are, it's just poisonous. You know, it just distracts you away from doing the good work that's there to do. And at the same time, it's just not true. I mean, becoming a mom is not like burying yourself in the backyard. It's giving yourself, I mean, when you become a mother, you are expanding as a person, not shrinking, right? If you have, you know, new things to give, new things to lay down, new things to sacrifice. I think it's funny when people act like, you know, this idea of sacrificing something for another, that is one of the most basic Christian principles. And it's funny when we act like something has been stolen from us.
Right. Well, right. It's rooted in our identity, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, if our identity is in Christ, that actually can't be lost, even right. if you have a million children. Oh, gosh. I mean, that's not possible. But yeah. So, you know, that's like foundationally, that's a big issue when you feel like self and personal preference and even yeah. maybe like vision for the future. If that's your identity, then you're already sort of on a shaky foundation.
Right. Because if your identity is all wrapped up in your social scene in the evenings and your music preferences, that was never a good place for your identity to be in the first place.
Right.
So if you feel like you've lost something when you've lost that, you know, that just shows you that maybe you had your emphasis in the wrong place anyway, which is not to say there's not the temptation to feel like that. It's just, you should be able to combat that with like, no, that was never really the essential me.
Right.
Right. Right. And someday I'll be able to listen to that music again and not right. whatever little phonic songs or anything.
And there's really nothing wrong. Would you guys agree? There's nothing wrong with like maybe taking a little time to still have some things you like. You know,
oh, yeah.
like
yeah.
that can, I think that can help with feeling like you haven't totally lost yourself, even though we established that's not a good way of thinking about
right.
it, but that can be just be a healthy way to express that by like, you know, when the kids go to bed, turn on the music you like.
Oh yeah.
At
absolutely.
A low volume,
but the
obviously.
Other thing too is like, I don't think it needs to be the either or like that, because when you have kids, it's like you have a little audience of people that you can show them what you like and why you like it. And you can have right. them like it too, alongside you, you know, and we all understand, like, if you see a great movie, for instance, what do you immediately want to do is you want to show it to other people too, because you want them to experience it with you. You know, it's like this sort of, it's more fun to laugh at a funny movie with friends
right.
than to just laugh at it by yourself.
Right.
And yeah, there's a moment where your kids are all little and of course they're not going to share your taste, but that is honestly a pretty short span of time. And you are raising people that you want to share your loves. Right. And so I don't think we should view it as like, well, I have to wait till they go to bed and then I can have this little moment where
right.
I get to do what I like. It's like, no, you're raising people to stand with you and appreciate the things you appreciate. And
they're
and
still going to turn out like you.
Opportunity. I mean, my kids are teenagers now, and I'm starting to see how fun that is when they're like, "Mom, listen to this fun song," or I tell them like, "Oh, listen to this one that I just found." And we actually have the same musical taste. And sure, there was a time when, you know, they didn't, but that wasn't very long.
Right. Yeah. Clementine already has my poor taste in country music, so it's actually really fun, and we both yeah. enjoy listening to that
something
together.
You can share
something we share is our bad yeah. taste in music. Okay, well, so last question, I also want to know, and you touched on this a little bit in your book, So not all women are married and have kids, and they still have a purpose in the kingdom. So if you were going to encourage a single woman in still embracing her femininity and the fact that she's a woman and that she has a role in the kingdom, what would you say to her?
Yeah, you know, I just think there are some fantastic opportunities there. And I think just in the same way that not every mother is going to be embodying the principles the same way to her kids, you know, like every mother is going to have to do it in her own way. And I think that the same thing is true for single women, and they do have different challenges, but they also have different advantages, right? Because there is no doubt that having a bunch of kids at home that have to be fed and they have to be gotten to bed, that does, you know, limit your scope of activities. But a single woman has different hurdles to get over, but she also has different advantages. And I would just encourage her to just look around her and see who she can serve. Because the thing is, when you're married with kids, that's sort of a given, right? The audience is right there. Here are the people that you have to take care of first. You have to lay yourself down for these people first. You want to give to them first. And then you have to spill over into hospitality as well. But a single woman should just look around and see, like, okay, what can I do? Who can I give to? Rather than how can I fulfill myself? How can I follow my dreams? How can I, right? It's just looking outward and seeing how can I, given my gifts, my abilities, my surroundings, the people that I have, and that's going to be different for everyone, how can I then embody feminine virtues in a way that gives to them? And I know that that's kind of vague, but at the same time, like, there isn't a cut and dry, one size fits all answer.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Joy, do you have anything else? I mean, I could go on for like another hour, but we're trying to be a short podcast.
Yeah.
Is there anything you wanted to ask her before?
No, I think that, you know, just in terms of time, we're good.
Yeah.
The book you should pick up.
Yes. You know what's funny is men have been asking me, like, can I read this book? Like, listen, please don't take your theological direction from me, but you should definitely read this book because I think it's just a great, like, treaty on what women are for. And I feel like there's just so much confusion surrounding that. And so this book, I mean, and I went into reading it feeling pretty confident. And I just feel like there were a lot of presuppositions I even had that were knocked down and taken dominion over.
Right.
So it was great. So
well, thank you.
Yes. Thank you so much for coming on. And I just.
Absolutely.
I hope that you keep writing. Like, I know that you're busy and I'm not trying to be bossy, but I hope that you. I hope this isn't the last book I read from you.
Oh, thank you. That's very sweet. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks.
All right. Great to sort of phone meet you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully one day in person.
Oh, that'd I'm sure great. That'll happen. I'm sure.
All right, lady. Well, we'll talk to you later. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. So that was awesome.
I love
her. That was a real treat. I can tell.
That could have been like an hour-long show.
Seriously,
for me.
We'll just have to have her back on again.
Yeah.
Because some guests you need an hour.
She's
plus
like,
a lifetime.
Right. She's like the kind of person where I just like want to invite her over and just like hang out.
Right. Can we just do that?
Can I do that? I'm going to do that one.
Okay. Day. All right. Well, so, you know, future goals.
Future goals. Be her best friend.
Right. Well, Summer, I have a quick question.
Ooh.
For you.
Okay. I like secret questions.
This is another one of my favorite questions to ask people. So here we go.
Okay. I'm kind of really excited right now. I had too much caffeine.
Don't get too excited.
Oh, okay.
But it could just be me that loves this question because I'm weird.
Okay.
All right. So what is your favorite sandwich? You can either build it for me or if it exists already, like at a place. Just tell me about your favorite sandwich, I guess, is what I'm asking.
My favorite sandwich. Okay. So in terms of sandwich world, I'm a dude.
Okay.
Okay. So if this was like my last sandwich on earth, I would go get, I would go to Jason's Deli.
Okay.
Which is not my favorite place in the world.
But it makes your favorite sandwich.
But it makes my favorite sandwich. I would go to Jason's Deli, and they make essentially like the kind of sandwich that Ron Swanson would eat. Like, okay. It's like a meat tornado.
Okay.
Which is killing.
Is that what it's called?
It's what I call it.
Okay.
It's like some roast beef furator or something.
Oh.
It's like, it's basically just a little bit of bread and then a stack of roast beef that you, it's like a French dip a little bit.
Okay.
Like you dip it in this like hot, I don't even know what the sauce is. Jus. Is that
like
what it is?
Like the juice from cooking the meat?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you dip it in that and it's like 2 pounds of roast beef. It's just roast, essentially just roast beef.
And bread.
And bread.
And some sauce.
That's my answer.
And some meat drippings.
Yes.
Like, got it.
So I'm a little doodly in that, but
that's fine.
That's okay.
That's fine.
Well, but you're a vegetarian, so do you eat sandwiches?
So my favorite sandwich is like the exact opposite of your favorite sandwich.
This is why we're so good together.
So my favorite sandwich can be found at a little place called Liberty Market. Oh, it's in downtown Gilbert.
Yeah, I've never been, but I've heard good things.
And it's amazing. It's like a panini press sandwich that has sweet potato and sprouts. Ooh. And roasted red pepper.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Mushroom, like roasted mushroom. It has hummus on it.
Oh, and
hummus. It also has goat cheese on it.
What?
It's,
I would eat this sandwich with a side of roast beef.
Well, and then the side that is my favorite that it comes with is they do a sweet potato salad there that has like sort of a curry-ish.
You know me and curry.
Right. Yeah. But so you can, they have many sides. You can order it with whatever beef if you want.
I just want a side of beef, please.
They also, side note, have the best bread pudding in the world there.
What is bread pudding?
Oh my gosh, bread pudding is the best dessert there is. It's like essentially chunks of bread baked together with custard.
Ew.
And you can put whipped cream on it. A lot of times it has raisins. This one doesn't have raisins, but they do a whole bunch of different flavors.
I feel
flavors.
Like I'm being punked right now.
No, bread pudding is,
I don't
it's
believe
the best thing that exists.
I don't believe in pudding.
Well, it's not really. It's more like a cake, but it's just super moist.
That's like my least favorite word.
I know. I was trying to figure out a word that would make it more
juicy.
I was like, wet cake? No, that doesn't sound good. Anyway, it is actually good.
Okay, let's go to Liberty Market.
A lot of times, it has like whiskey sauce on it and stuff.
Okay, well, I can be down with that.
Yeah. No beef though.
No beef
comes on that.
No, that sounds good, and I think that we should go to Liberty Market.
Oh yes,
right now.
Let's totally do that. Okay. Well,
so next week, actually, I'm not sure. Emily Tomes is coming on. I feel like I keep talking about her. She is, but she had like a super important conference to do.
Yeah, she's a busy gal.
Yeah, it's hard to nail down people that are cool, but she is going to be here soon.
Well, that's so much. Everything that Summer just said is something that you guys can all totally look forward to.
Yes.
So basically what we're saying is that you should go to sheologians.com and you should listen to our past podcasts if you haven't already. And if you already have, maybe you want to listen to them again. I don't know.
Yeah, replay.
And also, there will be more podcasts there every week.
Yes.
So you should just keep going to sheologians.com and checking out Sheologians, the podcast, and then also checking out Summer's blog. You can also do us a big favor by going to iTunes and rating and
reviewing
us. So that would be awesome. And we would be very thankful for that.
Yeah. We'll give you a shout out maybe if it's clever enough.
Right. If you write a really great review, you may be on the show. So that concludes this episode.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for listening. Keep listening. And have a great week until next Friday.
See you next week.